Welcome to American Indian and Alaskan Native Living, a program designed to educate and inspire listeners throughout Indian country. American Indian and Alaskan Native Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he is here today to help you learn more about your health. Here is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're recording another show at an exciting venue. The venue is Orlando, Florida, at the Convention Center here, the Orange County Convention Center. The gathering is the ASI International Convention. For those of you that have been listening to previous episodes, you realize that this is a group of people from throughout the world who are motivated, faith-based motivation, but trying to impact communities, trying to make a difference in practical ways to help people. Yes, there's often an undergirding Christian philosophy, but that is something that these organizations, whether they're helping with physical health, mental health, practical things on the ground, financial health, they are reaching across their community. And one of those people that I am especially pleased to have in the studio is with me right now, Dan Gabbert. Dan, it's great to have you with us.
I am grateful to be here.
Dan, you are not a stranger. If someone has been listening to this show for the 20 plus years we've been doing it, you've been my guest before. You have this unique talent of looking at mental and spiritual health in a way that I think is very different than many people have approached it. You describe yourself as a mental and spiritual health coach. You do have some formal training in counseling disciplines. Tell us a little bit about your background.
I don't know if I shared this in previous programs or not, but coming out of a lifestyle of being a bass player and a lead singer in a rock and roll band for years, and then finding in this amazing genre of called Christianity, finding a wonderful best friend and savior by the name of Jesus Christ, it has transformed the way that I approach life and think about the challenges that we as human beings face day to day, regardless of our religious background.
Okay. So what I hear you saying is, if we look at your life history, there is a time in life where you would definitely not have considered yourself a Christian.
Far from it. I made fun of them.
Okay. So if you're listening to today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living, and you're in the same boat, and listen, I'm going to be the first one to admit this, and Dan, you can tell me if I'm making you feel uneasy, but I know many of our listeners, as I visit throughout Indian country, Christianity has been used in ways that have oppressed First Nation peoples,
exactly.
Misused them. You can relate to that, right?
That's right. Yes.
So some people, when we say Christianity, that's not bringing any warm feelings at all.
Right.
And you can relate from your own experience. That didn't bring warm thoughts to you either.
I used to make fun of them.
Okay. So this is a program about mental and spiritual health today. You have this change of perspective, and you end up getting formal training as well in mental health counseling, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Because of where I was and the lifestyle that I lived and the thoughts that controlled my thinking, my brain, I knew that I needed a change in life. However, what most people don't realize, we become what we think. And the health of the information that we're choosing to feed our brain, feeding our thinking, directly affects the life we live. Either healthy and hope-filled, or extremely unhealthy and damaging and hopeless.
Okay, so basically, you come to this realization, your own experience, and just for the record, I found the same thing in my own, but what we dwell on, the things that we think about, even if we think it's entertaining or relaxing, is having an impact on our brain.
not only impact on our brain, but an impact on our three-dimensional health, physically, mentally, and spiritually. It's having a deep, impressive effect on our three-dimensional health, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually.
So I know for a period of time, Dan, you worked in a program where people were coming to make intensive lifestyle changes. They were coming with diabetes or cancer, or heart disease, high blood pressure, mental health challenges, and you were helping them on this journey, dealing with some very practical, some people would call them counseling strategies. Can you tell us a little bit about what you did and how you found that to make a difference for people?
I can tell you from experience that the individuals who actually benefited from the lifestyle program that was being promoted were the ones who actually were willing to their physical habits of living in harmony with healing curriculum, for lack of better terms. But those who were willing to actually begin to examine what they were thinking about life situations they're facing, about people in their life or people who are directly affecting their life, about the activities they're involved in everyday living. I could go on, but the reality is the lifestyle that people choose, what they choose to eat, what they choose to drink. By the way, I was an alcoholic before I became a Christian. The people they spend time with, what they choose to feed their thinking, i.e. television or videos, even radio has a direct effect on a person's health.
So let's kind of build on this framework. So we're looking at kind of a comprehensive approach to lifestyle. You're saying, hey, a lot of people got the same amount of information, said, hey, you make these changes, good things will happen. We could go through a whole list of health-enhancing behaviors. But if something doesn't change on the level of the mind, if it's just something, well, let me do this. You help me, Dan. Tell me if this analogy works. If it doesn't, then we'll make sure we recalibrate. So as I'm listening to you speaking about people making, you know, certain changes but not willing to look comprehensively at change, I think of one of my classic examples when people might come to one of my lectures, say, on natural treatments for high blood pressure. And there's a group of people that will come and they don't want to make any changes in their lifestyle. They just want to get rid of the blood pressure pills and take a natural supplement. And I tell them, you know, there's nothing as powerful as comprehensive lifestyle changes. Is this kind of on this continuum?
We're on track. Yes.
Okay. So what we want to know is then, what does this lifestyle look like? When someone would walk into your office, they say, I'm here for my uncontrolled diabetes, my high blood pressure. I've had a couple of strokes, but I've bounced back. I don't seem to have much residual. I just don't want to have that big stroke and be paralyzed. What can I do? And they've been hearing from the doctors, you know, about their cholesterol and blood pressure, and they saw the nutritionist, and now they're sitting in your office. And what are you talking with them about?
What do you enjoy thinking about the people in your life?
So that's how you start your interview? What do you enjoy thinking?
What do you enjoy thinking about? What do you enjoy dwelling on in your, because this mind, your mind is constantly, actively thinking. We think information, but the health of the information, the accuracy, the truthfulness of the information that we're choosing to think on, use our thinker, our brain, directly affects not only the health of our relationships, i.e. our relationships with God, our relationships with other people. In fact, our relationships with ourself, directly affected by our thoughts. But what's so potent about this whole thing is our thoughts, we're thinking information. The health and accuracy, the health and truthfulness of the information that we're feeding our thinker, our brain, directly affects our relationships with other people, our relationships with ourself, our relationships with challenges of life that come down the pike, our relationships with activities that we have opportunity to be involved in. It affects every aspect of our life.
So if you were to have heard the answer to that question from your own life, this is what I heard you telling me earlier. If you were sitting in that chair across from yourself and you said, what do you enjoy doing? And you maybe would have said, well, listen, I'm always thinking about the next, you know, musical composition, or did I get that right? And what would you tell that person? Would you say, great, you know, or would you say, you know, this worries me that you're always thinking, I mean, because music, I mean, can be very healing, right?
Right. And I'd respond with a question. And the question would be, what kind of music do you enjoy listening to?
And is it genre? Is it the subject of the music? What's the thing that you're going to give? If I say, you know, I love, you know, heavy metal, is that going to give you a different feeling than if I say I love classical music?
And I tell them, you know, I used to be a bass player and a lead singer for a fairly well-known rock group. And I can tell you exactly what the music that you're listening to is, how it's going to affect your life, not only mentally, but also physically and also spiritually. Because our relationship with God, for those who are people who are interested in that, our relationship with God, whether we know it or not, is directly affected by the information we're choosing to feed our mind, which affects the way we think about God, about our relationship with other people, about our own personal being.
So let's illustrate this. So we've got all kinds of people listening to the show. I know you've done a lot of work with what you call Christian counseling, and some might immediately relate to that, others may not, but let's just give people a feel for what that looks like, whether they're Christian or not. Someone walks in and they say, listen, I'm a Christian, I'm listening to a lot of music, but you know, I keep having these imagery from the songs, you know, that aren't things I want to think about. Would you use the Bible? Would you look at scriptural principles? How would you help that person redirect their thinking?
First of all, I'd want to practice the golden rule in all of my interaction. And I would find out what they're comfortable with, what kind of information they're comfortable with in their thinking. What do you enjoy thinking about? What kind of information do you enjoy watching on TV? In other words, what is the information that you're most comfortable with in guiding your life?
So if I'm hearing, you know, maybe I'm going a little bit different direction than I started to go. I'm going to throw this out here.
Okay.
Then we're going to take a break because the listeners will be processing this too. And you'll tell me, oh, I was totally off base or I was on track. But I almost hear you saying, you're almost asking about a kind of a learning style. Do you like to learn from stories? Do you like me to give you statistics from the latest medical studies? Do you like me to share my own personal experience? Do you like to do hands-on? Do you like to learn by experience things? So I want to get your feedback on whether I'm going in the right direction, because I'm sensing that you've got some powerful material that my listeners want to hear, but we can't digest it right now because the clock is saying we got to step away just briefly. You can stay by, right?
I can stay by.
Okay, for all of you tuning in on American Indian and Alaska Native Living, I'm Dr. David DeRose. Dan Gabbert, my guest. We are here live recording in Orlando, Florida. We're going to step away just briefly. We'll come back more with Dan. Practical things to help your mental and spiritual outlook. Stay tuned.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please reach out to us on the web at AIANL.org. That stands for American Indian Alaska Native Living. Again, AIANL.org. Or you can call us at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When Jim died, I wondered if I would be able to keep the farm. Then I heard about the USDA's loan program for socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. It's for women and minorities who may be having trouble getting credit. Once I was approved, the USDA's Farm Service Agency helped me get the credit I needed. Now I don't have to sell, and I can pass the farm down to my kids the way Jim's dad passed it down to him. I know he'd like that.
Contact your local USDA service center or visit www.fsa.usda.gov.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Dan Gabbert across from me, he's speaking about his perspective, his experience on how to help people have a more, dare I say it, abundant life, mentally, spiritually. You've been doing this type of coaching work for many years. You're also the author of at least a couple of books, as I understand. Can you tell us about the books that you've written briefly? And then we'll come back to my question that we ended the last segment with.
We put together a book called Unbound.
Unbound.
Insights into Mental and Spiritual Healing. Just a very simplified and brief introduction and guide to what I believe we as human beings, regardless of our religious background, regardless of our ethnic background, regardless of what part of the country we live in, a book that contains the principles of healthy thought life that can give a person an incredible foundation upon which to build a healthy, hope-filled, happy life in the years they have here on this earth.
I love it. So Unbound is the name of the book. Your last name is spelled G-A-B-B-E-R-T, Gabbert, Dan.
Yes.
Gabbert. And can I find that book on Amazon or? Okay, perfect. So we know where we can get more information, but let's come back. Now, we were dialoguing about the initial conversation that you would have with someone that you're counseling with, and you ask them the kind of things that they enjoy, what they like to think about. And as I was listening to that, what I was reflecting back at the end of the last segment is it almost sounds like you're trying to find their learning styles. Are they a kind of hands-on learner? Was I understanding that right, or was it more than that?
Yeah. It was coming from a Christian perspective where the most valuable thing that you and I can ever do for someone else. Besides getting on their page and meeting them where they're at, is to actually introduce them to the principles of living that actually enhance physical, mental, and spiritual life rather than, excuse the term, dehance. Detract.
Okay.
From a healthy, happy life.
So Unbound is your book. A lot of practical insights there. If you were to say, here's three practical insights, things that I've seen change other people over the years, can you share a few, maybe even in the context of a story of someone who caught a principle and it changed their life?
Because we are what we think. Even secular psychologists understand that.
Right.
What's so amazing, it's found in the Bible also. Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. There it is. You are what you think. And so understanding that principle by itself, the first question that if I were someone who wanted a healthier, happier life, I would ask myself personally the question, I would go, so where am I getting the information that I'm choosing to evaluate the circumstances of life that I'm facing with? What am I using for a foundation of information? What's my dictionary?
Okay.
What's my encyclopedia?
Fair enough.
Where do I go to guide me when I face a challenge of life?
Okay.
When a project I'm working on doesn't turn out, it falls apart. Or when a family member or someone who's close to me does something or says something that might be out of character, but it hurts. It damages me. Where do I go for help? Who do I turn to? Well, some people turn to someone they heard on TV. Other people go to the library and check out a book on mental health.
Okay.
Some people start looking for another human being that has the letters on the wall,
okay.
A PhD, everybody turns to somebody or something to get some insight into what they can do in order to actually find restoration and peace in their life. And that's where, of course, medical doctors have their place in this picture also.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks for not throwing us under the bus just yet. But I understand from your work and from the little I understand about Unbound, the book, is that where you find and where you found yourself the most powerful answers was in what people today would call the Bible. Is that a correct understanding?
Yeah. I've been into Eastern meditation and moved out to Hollywood and spent time in Hollywood trying to work my way into the film industry and learning how to project myself and put myself in the best possible light and have the best possible health so I could fit the roles that my figure and my face fit. And but I played that game. I don't know how much of my story you want to hear, but the reality is I discovered when I was out in Hollywood, in L.A., I discovered a man by the name of Jesus Christ.
Tell us about that experience.
Came home from a film actor's workshop. I was in my prime, 27 years old, after spending about 5-6 years working as a bass player and lead singer. Moved out to Hollywood because everybody said, hey, you got to go to Hollywood, man. And so I went. And it was there that I came to realize that I needed something more than what Hollywood had to offer.
Huh. Okay.
And I came home to my apartment in Hollywood, and there sitting on my nightstand, of all things, was a Bible that my parents had given me when I graduated from high school.
Hmm.
Graduated from another Christian denomination. And I cracked the Bible open, just like this. I know this is radio, but I cracked it open.
Just randomly, just to open the Bible up.
And I said, okay, I'd been making fun of you, God, for quite a while. But if you're really real and you've got a better plan for my life than I've been able to come up with myself, I'm ready to listen. Crack the Bible open, and wouldn't you know, it opened up to one of the Gospels, and I started reading about this man by the name of Jesus that I used to make fun of, made a living making fun of Christians and people who were followers of Christ.
And so you started reading this, and did you get a different picture of Jesus than you had before?
I did. I started reading about this man that I had been making fun of for years. And the more I read, the more convinced I was that he had something that I didn't have.
Mm.
And his stuff lasted for eternity. Not only eternal life, but peace, freedom from anger.
Mm.
By the way, I had an incredible fancy temper.
Wow.
He freed me from sexual immorality.
Hmm.
Anyway, he set me free. Bottom line.
So I hear you, if someone is not relating to your story, I hear you saying, well, why don't you try the same thing? Just find one of those Bibles somewhere. Maybe there's one on your shelf. And actually read it instead of listening to what everyone said about it or how they've said, I'm a Christian and the nasty things they did, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, the only way you'll ever find the peace that I found is actually get to know the one I found by reading the Bible, particularly Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Tremendous. Let me tell you this, Dan. I appreciate you sharing a bit of your life story. I know a little bit more of the backstory as far as how much you've done over the years to make a difference in other people's lives. We appreciate you swinging by the booth here, and we've had your dear wife, Patsy, next to you. She's been listening along with me, and we appreciate both of you taking time out of this busy schedule to join us. I've got to jot it down. For those who didn't get it already, the title Unbound, Dan Gabbert is the author of that book. You can pick up a copy, learn more of his practical tips as found in the scriptures. Dan, thanks again.
My pleasure. And thank you for being a conduit for hurting hearts and hurting lives and people who are wanting to find the very, very best that they can experience in their life here.
We've got to step away. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're going to be back with another guest as we wind up this edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. DeRose. Stay by for the second half of the show right after this.
American Indian and Alaska Native Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please contact us on the web at aianl.org or call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
A message from the National Police Association. It used to be that any able-bodied person would offer to assist a police officer in danger. Now, passersby are more likely to take a video. There's a better use for your phone when an officer's in trouble. Call 911. Tell the operator where you are and what you see. Then, start your video to provide evidence later. To learn more about how you can assist law enforcement, visit nationalpolice.org. That's nationalpolice.org.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. With me here in our virtual studio at ASI 2025, the International Convention in Orlando, Florida, is none other than Kyle Allen. He's a vice president with a group called Adventist World Radio. Kyle, it's great to have you with us.
It's great to be here, Dr. DeRose. Thank you for having me.
Kyle, you folks have a high profile worldwide. In some places, you may be the only radio option that people have. Tell us a little bit about the history of AWR, this Adventist World Radio.
Well, Adventist World Radio is the Seventh-day Adventist Church's radio outreach ministry. And this has been over 50 years now that we've been broadcasting in all parts of the world. Right now, I don't have the actual latest number, but I know it's over 2,000 stations that we're working with around the world in over 100 languages, in some of the hardest to reach places on earth. And that's really our mission, to go wherever air goes. You know, radio can go beyond, as we say, no walls, no borders, no limits. And so even in places like the Middle East, places like communist China, places like North Korea, where we can't send missionaries, but radio can go. In addition to countries where there are Christians already, and there's huge needs in our world, both here in North America and in other places around the world.
And you guys have been such a faithful partner to so many stations, so many initiatives. One that we featured earlier in this series of programs is Dene Adventist Radio. I know as they've been seeking to develop new programming, build stations to help expand listening options throughout the Navajo Nation. AWR, I keep hearing your guys' name involved in those conversations. How all has that partnership played out?
Well, we've heard for years about the needs of the Navajo Nation and the particular needs for there to be greater radio coverage there. And so we were able to partner with different church entities for the Adventist Church there, the Pacific Union, the Arizona Conference, and the Native American Ministries. And by God's grace, this has become a reality. Alan Steele, who is the founder of Adventist World Radio, has also been involved with this project, along with many others. If I began to name names, I'd get in trouble, but
okay.
It's been a tremendous partnership and a blessing that this has come together now, and we praise the Lord for it.
So you mentioned the name of Alan Steele. That name in some circles is well known.
Yes.
My understanding, and you can correct me, is that some of the original roots of AWR bring us out to the South Pacific.
That's
why
right.
Do I have that association?
Well, AWR actually started, and I'm making sure my history is right, but I believe their first broadcast was in Portugal. actually. If someone's listening to this and I'm wrong, then
they'll have mercy.
You
I'm
could
sure.
let me know. But the vision for Adventist World Radio actually came originally from a man named HMS Richards.
Oh.
You may have heard he was the kind of the grandfather of Seventh-day Adventist Radio, and he started a program called The Voice of Prophecy out in California. I don't remember the year, but HMS Richards had a vision that we could use radio to reach the world, even into the communist areas, which in those days, of course, things were much different. We couldn't send missionaries past the Iron Curtain. And so they thought, what if we can use shortwave radio, which travels far distances, to reach into these communist nations? And that was really where the idea for Adventist World Radio was born. It was born out of the idea to use shortwave to reach into these territories. So Portugal happened, and as I recall, if I'm not getting my history incorrect, they were trying to reach into the communist nations there of Eastern Europe.
Okay.
But the big break, of course, that you're thinking of is the vision to build a station on the island of Guam.
Mm-hmm.
And so Guam being the furthest west U.S. soil that's out there, strategically, if you can place a shortwave station, they thought, if we can place a shortwave station here, we can reach all the way into Asia, Southeast Asia, up into Russia, China, these very hard to reach areas. And so by God's grace, the vision became a reality. And Adventist World Radio started to broadcast shortwave from Guam. And today that signal reaches 1/3 of the world's population.
So you guys not only put out these shortwave signals that I'm assuming the average person can't get. I mean, I don't have a shortwave receiver, right?
Right, right.
But you are also broadcasting on conventional stations, correct?
Correct. Most of our broadcasts today are on conventional FM and AM stations and through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the stations that are broadcasting FM or AM, they're also simulcasting online. So we've seen shortwave, of course, change in popularity over the years, and shortwave has become less popular as time has gone on. But FM radio and AM still remains very popular around the world.
Right.
And so we've invested more resources into those stations. We still got shortwave because there's still people that do listen, and we don't want to abandon that.
Right, right.
So that's still going, but we've moved a lot of our focus also into equipping new stations and helping existing stations to increase their reach and to have a greater impact in their communities.
So AWR, are you a network in the sense that you own multiple stations? Is this more of a partnership with local people? How does this all work?
Great question. And a lot of people ask that. So Adventist World Radio is, the best way I could describe it, Dr. DeRose, would be a network.
Mm-hmm.
So we do own the Guam station. That's the one station that we own and operate. We have a full team out there, and it's an amazing team. They do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have all these other stations that are owned by different church organizations within the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a local church from the local church owning a station all the way up to a union or a bigger one, you know, run by a big church entity to self-supporting ministries running stations. And we've supported all kinds with funding, programming assistance, a lot of technical support, but largely funding from fellow believers who want to see the gospel go out. And when they give to AWR, those dollars go directly to support those stations and their work.
So someone's listening right now and they say, well, wow, I've heard of AWR. I didn't realize all they were doing. You know, I want to be a part of this vision and help support it. Can someone just jump on a website and hit a donate button? Is it that easy?
Yeah, it is.
So what is your website?
AWR.org.
Okay. AWR.org. Only got to remember six letters.
That's right. It's super easy. And on there, if you click donate, you'll see a bunch of different projects. And you can give to certain regions of the world.
Hmm.
One of my favorite projects is the God Pods.
Tell us about that.
So the God Pods are really cool. Imagine something maybe half the size of your cell phone.
Okay.
But it's an MP3 player.
Uh-huh.
So it's simple. It's got simple buttons. So even people that can't read can figure out, okay, I press this button. And it's very loud, solar powered, waterproof.
Whoa.
And very almost not indestructible, but very hardy. So it can be out in the bush, you know, in the jungle or in the desert, whatever. You haven't heard of them being run over by a truck and they survived.
Oh, really?
But these little devices have the Bible on them.
Like the whole Bible.
The whole Bible.
In like a person's
in their language. Exactly. And some of them have two languages on them. So they have the Bible, they have gospel sermons, evangelistic content, health programs, children's programs, different audio books, like some of my favorites, like The Desire of Ages, The Great Controversy, Steps to Christ. So there's just a huge treasure trove of resources on this little device. And the cool thing is it's so loud that when they press play, they can turn the volume up and maybe, you know, a whole group can listen.
You mean like a whole group of...
maybe 15, 20 people.
Really?
A small group. Yeah.
Really?
So we have places like where, you know, we've heard many stories. In fact, I get stories on my text messages from different places about our God pods and from the Maasai warriors in Kenya.
Okay.
Just last week, I got an incredible story about someone whose life was completely changed because they found a God pod.
They found it?
Well, one of the Maasai warriors, there's a ministry called Mara Vision that we also partner with. Hmm. I don't know if they're here at ASI, but they distribute our God pods in Kenya.
Okay.
And these Maasai warriors, many of them have come to know Jesus through the God pods and become members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so someone found one of these warriors' God pods that he wasn't using. And it's I forget all the details, but it was an incredible story of how it changed their life completely.
Now, I've heard a lot of people speaking very enthusiastically about some project or projects that you've been involved with in the Philippines.
Mm.
Can you tell us a little bit about what's been going on there with some rebel soldiers or something?
How much time do we have?
Well, unfortunately,
it's
probably not enough.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But give us at least a start.
Okay, so to just a little snippet, okay? And you can find all these stories on YouTube. If you type in AWR360, there's lots of videos that tell this story. So I'll just give you the preview.
Okay, so AWR360.
Yeah, or Adventist World Radio. If you go to YouTube, you type in AWR360 or you type in Adventist World Radio, you'll get to our page and you can watch all the videos.
So how would I know what to look for?
You would see like a circle with three trumpets.
Okay.
Like a kind of a bluish circle with like three trumpets.
That's your logo?
That's our logo, Adventist World Radio. But to get to the Philippines.
Yes, yes.
So there's an island called Mindoro.
Okay.
And this island is south of Manila. Philippines has over 7,000 islands, so
it's a lot of islands.
It's a lot of islands, but this is one of the bigger ones. To make a long story short, there are groups in the Philippines that over the years have been what we call communist rebels.
Mm.
They, 50 years ago, or more than that, subscribed to the ideals of the communist revolution in China. They read the sayings of Mao and all this kind of stuff. And so they became essentially atheist communist rebels in the Philippines. And these guys would create these communities in the mountains of some of the islands in the Philippines. Mindoro was a stronghold for these guys, thousands of them living in the mountains. The government tried for years to get them to become a part of society, to surrender, but they would always fight. They killed, they assassinated local officials, and they would set booby traps and do all kinds of crazy stuff over the years, but the government could never get them to surrender. Long story short, a few years ago, AWR was invited to do some evangelistic meetings on the island. As a part of these evangelistic meetings, this was in 2017, we started broadcasting on some stations in the towns, which are along the outskirts of the island, right? These were health programs that were being broadcast and evangelistic programs. So again, you know, you're a physician, so you have health and evangelism working together. And what we didn't realize is that these programs were reaching into the mountains.
We got to hear more about this. Are you able to stay by with me?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm Dr. David DeRose, Kyle Allen, Vice President, one of the VPs of AWR. He's going to stay by. You've got to hear the amazing conclusion, or at least an amazing overview of what's going on in the Philippines, a bit more about AWR and other practical things that can impact you. We'll be right back after these important announcements.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, I'm Dr. David DeRose, host of American Indian and Alaska Native Living Radio, with a special word of appreciation for all of you who make this show possible. This radio show comes to you as the result of generous donors who have given us the ability to produce this broadcast for over 20 years. Some of these donors also support our sister programming that is released through Timeless Healing Insights at timelesshealinginsights.org. You've likely heard us speak about some of those free programs on previous episodes. If you haven't, we have comprehensive programs that use short online videos to help with high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, and more. Because of that strong connection, TimelessHealingInsights.org provides a single website to access our radio archives and other free health programs that can help you, your family, and your tribe. Thanks again to all of you who make these quality resources available.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What is a number story?
My number story started with fear and a lack of support, and it has led me to be there for others.
A number story begins in our childhood with ACEs, adverse childhood experiences.
My number story begins with the separation from my father and the emotional abandonment from my mother, and leads to me being a role model to not only myself, but those around me by becoming the person that wasn't there for me.
ACEs are so common, 2/3 of us have one.
My number story begins with drug abuse and homelessness, and leads to realizing that I can live life by my own standards.
A study found the more ACEs, the more likely we may experience a host of serious health effects, physical and mental, but that doesn't need to be the case. Your ACE number is simply an entry point to your own story. Where it leads is up to you.
My number story begins with years of emotional abuse and leads to peace, clarity, and security in my self-worth.
Take control of where your number story leads at numberstory.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back for our final segment of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. We're speaking to one of the networks that actually helps distribute American Indian and Alaska Native Living Radio, at least by virtue of Diné Adventist Radio, AWR, or Adventist World Radio, one of the networks that is involved with distributing this program, if you're a regular listener or listening for the first time. And we're learning a bit more about AWR, Adventist World Radio, and some of the impact that they're having literally globally from Kyle Allen. Kyle is one of the vice presidents of AWR. Kyle, you were telling us this amazing story that comes from the Philippines, where you're basically holding meetings, you're teaching people about Bible principles, you're doing health programming, and you're sending it out on the radio to a number of small stations, not realizing that these stations are being picked up in the mountains where there are these communist rebels.
That's
right. Where does the story go from here?
It's an incredible story, and it just gets even better. So they're listening, and we didn't realize that they were listening. Again, these are rebels that have been against the government for decades. They have fought. They have lived a very brutal anti-God lifestyle. And somehow they started listening. And the health programs are the ones that caught their attention, we found out later.
Really interesting.
They were struggling with different diseases and things up there.
Uh-huh.
But as they listened to these health programs, they began to be more interested in the spiritual programs that would follow. So to make a long story short, one of our pastors, who actually is here at the ASI convention,
oh, really?
Robert Dulai, he was working on the island of Mindoro, and he was one of the speakers on the radio. He knew what these communist rebels looked like, because they had been known to actually kidnap and kill pastors for ransom.
Whoa.
It had happened.
So they circulated these pictures. If you see these guys, like, run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So he comes home one day to his house, and he sees a group of these guys at his front gate. And you can imagine, like, what would you do if you walked up to your house and you knew, you could tell these were the guys that are the rebels from the mountains?
So the ones in the, quote, most wanted pictures, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they're at your house. And you can imagine that his heart starts beating, right? And he's like, okay. And he goes up to him, but he's a courageous guy. And he goes up to him and he says hello. And then they say to him, are you the pastor of the radio?
The pastor of the radio.
Of the radio, or on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you know, what would you say? Would you admit it? Well, Robert's, you know, he trusts in the Lord. And so he said, yes, I am the pastor on the radio. And I can imagine his heart was really beating at that point.
Uh-huh.
And they said to him, well, we've been listening to you. Robert's, you can imagine, he's praying, and the Lord, you've got to come through for me here.
Uh-huh.
But the next thing they said, he never would have believed.
Hmm.
Because they said to him, pastor, we've been listening to you, and many in the mountains have also been listening. And we're here because we want to know more about Jesus. And we need you to come teach us. And that was the beginning, Dr. DeRose, of an amazing series of events whereby we found out that many of these villages were listening to the radio broadcasts. And there are multiple other stories I could tell that are within the larger story, but we sent teams, medical teams, so they held small dental clinics and medical clinics.
So you're going out into the rebel villages now?
Yes, yes, 8 to 12 hour hikes.
So now, just let me ask you this. I mean, you guys at kind of Mission Control,
yeah,
AWR,
yeah,
Central, if you will.
Yes.
Were you guys at some point saying, is this just a trick? Are they trying to lure a bunch of people into the mountains and then kill? I mean, did you have discussions like that?
Some people were worried about that. In fact, there were some concerns. Now, myself, I did not go on one of those treks, but our president, Dr. Dwayne McKee, and Cami Oakman, they actually went, must have been around 2018 or so, before COVID.
Okay.
They went over there and they trekked up into the mountains to visit one of these villages.
Wow.
And there was at one point some concern because these rebel groups had been at war with the Philippine army.
Right, right.
And so they had to run at one point because uh-huh. they were concerned about some fighting going on.
Wait, who had to run? The AWR team?
Yeah, as I recall, yeah, there was some dicey moments, but you know, they...
So they're traveling these 9 to 12 hours on foot?
Well, they, I think, took a helicopter.
Okay.
Because I don't think that's a long time, a lot hard for a non...
Okay, but at some point they're having a walk.
Yes.
And
yes,
they hear the sound of gunfire or something.
I'm not sure exactly what happened.
Okay, but we're getting the picture. We don't,
but it's a dicey situation.
Okay.
And then there was like flooding and stuff, all kinds of stuff. But the bottom line is, Dwayne, our president, got to go up in there and baptized 5 of their leaders.
Wow.
And then we heard that whole villages were coming to Christ.
So these are these rebel villages.
These are the rebel villages.
So they have their families.
Yes, yes. And some of them, I just have to tell this quick. I know time is going, but there was this one family where the woman, she had a radio and she was listening. The husband was a rebel. And in their rebel assignments or whatever, they go away for many days and they come home for a short amount of time out of the month. And he comes home, his wife's listening to the radio and he's mad.
Huh.
What are you listening to? And she's like, I'm listening to what I want to listen to. And he's mad. He's like, well, I'm not going to listen to that. But of course, you know, the woman gets her way, right? She's listening to AWR. And the man acts like he's not listening because he's mad. But in reality, he was listening. And she's being converted by what she's hearing. And slowly her husband, over those next few days, acts like he's not listening, but he's really listening. And then at the end, before he has to leave, he says, sweetheart, or whatever you say in that language, I want to know more too. Both of them end up getting baptized later. Now, here's the amazing thing. The rebel groups decided that they wanted to surrender, but they didn't know how. So they came to the Adventist church and they said, what do we need to do? We cannot keep fighting this war, this shadow war, and become Christians. So by God's grace, they arranged a day when they would come out of the mountains, and the government allowed us to basically bring them to a church, and they a certain day at a certain time, they came out of the mountains. If they would lay down their weapons, they would be granted amnesty. And they signed a peace treaty in the church, ending the war for that region of the Philippines.
Wow.
And then in 2021, a team of us, and I was privileged to be able to go with Pastor Ted Wilson, our former GC president for the Adventist Church, and a team of us with our AWR team, we got to go and meet these rebel, communist rebels that were now becoming baptized, over 700 of them, Dr. DeRose. And I was there, like, in the pool. I remember we had Philippine Army guys with M16 standing around because these guys were hunting other rebel groups that were, you know, enemies. They didn't want these guys becoming Christians. But these 700 gave their hearts to Jesus and became members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It was incredible. And they were no longer called rebels. We had a new name for them.
What did you call them?
FRs.
What does that stand for?
Former rebels.
Okay.
Because now they were followers of Jesus. And it reminds me of that verse, you know, that says that, behold, when we are in Christ, anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. Behold, all things have become new. And we saw that in the Philippines. And these 700, they pledged on the last night that we were there, they all lit a candle. And it was a beautiful thing because they said that these candles represent that we want to go back into our villages, and each one of us wants to reach at least one more for Jesus. And that 700 then went, and the next year they baptized 1,200.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is like 2022, if I got the timeline?
Yeah, this would have been 2022 into 2023.
Uh-huh.
And so the work has continued. And then we worked to provide them, because now they were trying to reintegrate into society, and so we helped them start a business on making peanuts.
Really?
Yeah, so they could have a little small businesses. And
so they're growing peanuts, making peanuts and peanut butter and stuff?
Not peanut butter, but selling peanuts and other, other things. So trying to help them get on their feet so they can be a part of society again. But the cool thing is that some of these rebels who were actually enemies of the state, they were hunting down Philippine Army officers. In fact, in one story, there was a rebel assassin who had hunted a Philippine army officer who was an assassin for the army. They were hunting each other. The rebel became an Adventist and was baptized. The army officer saw that the man he had been hunting had become a Christian. He also surrendered his heart. Both of them were baptized.
Wow.
And the story has continued even just a few weeks ago, Dr. DeRose, at the General Conference session in St. Louis, Missouri. One of the top generals in the Philippines, Villanueva was his name, General Villanueva. He is over a whole regional command. He had witnessed what happened in Mindoro. He was baptized just 2 weeks ago in St. Louis.
A lot of people wonder, what do Adventists have to do with improving communities, improving health? This is an amazing story, because a lot of people don't connect those dots. It's not just about telling people about the Bible or having Bible studies. It's about changing communities, bringing peace, bringing harmony.
Amen.
Kyle, thanks so much for sharing the stories.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for what all of you at AWR do. One more time, how does someone listen to your programming?
Oh, please, just go to our website, awr.org, find out more there, support us with your donations, and most of all, your prayers.
We got to run. Kyle Allen, wrapping up today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. For all of us, I'm Dr. David DeRose, wishing you the very best of health.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.